So I'm going to, in the next few minutes, I'm going to talk about a few points on the topic, come and see. Come and see. Amen. We've been called to make disciples. We've been called to shine our light, as we talked about last week. That we've been called to be salt, to be light, to let our light shine, to make a difference. So over the next few minutes, I'm going to talk about the topic, come and see. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we pray that even as we go into your word, that you speak expressly to our hearts, for each and every one of us, a word in season in Jesus' name, a word of encouragement, a word to uphold, to strengthen in the mighty name of Jesus. We give you praise, Father, for we pray in Jesus' name. That phrase, come and see, it's popularly related to a woman that had an encounter with Christ. And that's where the topic comes from. It's not possible for us to encounter God. It's not possible for us to have an encounter with God in one way or the other and keep it to ourselves. If we've truly encountered God, if we truly have a relationship with Him, you cannot keep it to yourself. It's not, I don't believe it's possible. So, if anybody says to me that they're a believer, they're saved, they've accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they're walking in His will and His way, but it's all about, and I've heard people say this, it's about, me and my relationship with God. That's all that counts. That's not what God has called us to. Our encounters with Him should lead us to proclaim what we know about Him. Amen. I'm going to talk about three points. The first one, I said that do not hesitate to point others to Christ. You never know what impact their encounter will have. So as an individual, you've been saved. Glory be. But don't hesitate to point others to Christ. You might think, little old me, what can I say? What can I do? What difference would it make? Oh, I spoke to a little child. What difference would it make? You never know. That little child, you don't know what God is going to use them to do. I always talk about the story of Billy Graham. I can't remember the pastor's name, the guy that led him to Christ. When they had a revival and he made an altar call, and the only person that was just one young person that gave their life to Christ. And it was pretty much distraught, thinking, just one. Just one person. You can imagine you preach a powerful sermon, you share a word, and only one person. But that one person has led millions, millions and millions of people to Christ. So you might think, what I did is a little thing. But the little thing you're doing could make a significant impact in the kingdom. Could have a significant impact. So you might think you're just touching one life. The one life you touch could be the life that is going to turn around the course of this nation. Amen. The first instance I think about when I, consider this is Andrew. Do we all know Andrew, the apostle, one of the very first disciples? And I'll quickly read from John chapter 1 from verse 35. John chapter 1 from 35, I'll read to 42. It says, again the next day, John stood with two of his disciples. Now that's John the Baptist, stood with two of his disciples. And looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. So these were guys that were already disciples of John and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, when translated, "Teacher, where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. So Jesus said to them, "Come and see. You want to know where I'm staying? Come and see." And they remained with him. They had a relationship with him. Verse 40 says, "One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, 'We have found the Messiah,'" which is translated the Christ, "and he brought him to Jesus." So Andrew had an encounter with Jesus. What did he do? Whoa, you know, "Simon, you've got to hear this. We found the Messiah. We found the Christ. Come, let's go meet him." Andrew took Peter, Simon, to Jesus. It says, "Now, when Jesus looked at him, he said, 'You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas,'" Peter, "'the rock, a stone.'" Peter went on to be pretty much, they say, the first or the, you know, of the apostles, the rock, the revelation on which the church is founded. The Catholics say that Peter was the first pope. But Peter went on to make a significant impact in the early church. We hear more about what Peter did than Andrew. Andrew led Peter to Jesus. Amen. What if he had just kept it to himself? What if he hadn't said anything? Don't hesitate to point others to Christ. The second point. Now, what do you say? What is the message? Do you have to be a preacher? You don't have to be a preacher to share God's word. All you need to do is share your testimony. So if you've actually had an encounter with Jesus, what happened? What's your story? We all have a story. We all have a story how we came to be here today. Particularly every adult. You have a story. There's something that made you decide to be in church. There's something that made you decide you will be following Jesus Christ, you'll be coming to church, you would worship him. There's something that happened that made you accept him as your Savior and your Lord. You've got a story to share. And all you need to do is share that story. I personally believe that your story is so powerful. It's not until you can quote from Genesis to Revelation that you have a word to share. Think about that woman by the well. It's called the Sychar ministry. The woman was by the well. That's in John chapter 4. Again, a very powerful passage. Because it's powerful because Jesus Christ revealed how God expects us to worship him in John chapter 4. That God is spirit, that he's looking for those who worship him in spirit and in truth. So we've been called to be worshippers in spirit and in truth. But this woman, Jesus Christ was speaking to her. It wasn't even someone that he should have been speaking to in the first instance. She was a Samaritan. She was from Samaria. The Jews and the Samaritans didn't get along. But yet, Jesus took his time to talk to her. He took his time to reveal things to her. I'll read from verse 27. So after they had been talking, it says, and at this point, John 4:27, at this point, his disciples came and they marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking to her?" The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men of the city, "Come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" Then they went out of the city and came to him. What did she do? All she did was to go out and say, "You know what? I just met someone. I just had a conversation with this person. He told me everything about me. He knew me. He told me everything I've ever done. Could this be the Christ? Could this be Christ really?" She shared her story. She shared her story, her encounter with him. What did that do? Verse 39 says, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him." They believed in him because of the word that the woman, because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me all that I ever did." Many believed because a woman encountered Jesus Christ and went out and just was sharing her story and telling them, "You know, this is what he's done for me. This is what he's done for me. This is, you know, he knew me inside out. And he could say everything about me. He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. So in the first instance, because she was bold enough to tell others, "This is what he's done for me. This is what he said about me," they came to seek him out. They came to seek him out. And I believe in encountering him themselves, they were also convicted. Because it says many more believed. So a lot of people believed because a woman took her time to share her story. And many more believed when they heard the story and they came to Christ. So you go out there, you talk to people, not just today, tomorrow, next week, every day. You're at school, you're at work, in your neighborhood. You share your story. Your story will draw people to him. Because of your lifestyle, because of the things you say, because of the things you do, people will draw near to God. They want to know more about him. It's actually easier for you, for your story to draw people to church than for you to say, "Okay, you know, come to church, come to church." Why are they coming to church? To do what? What do you want them to come and do in church? Because they don't know anything about church. Someone that has never heard about church doesn't know what goes on in church. But can they relate to your story? By relating to your story, that serves as its first step. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we shouldn't hesitate to talk. We shouldn't, you know, be reluctant to share our testimony. And very quickly, the third point I'm just going to talk about is just an encouragement that we're not alone. You're not alone in the race. We're all in a race where we've been given a commission. We've been told to go out there and share the word. But you're not on your own. And you don't have to know everything before you can share. Amen. So that even if you're not sure what to do, there are others around you to help lead others to Christ. So if you think, "Oh, what if they pose some major question I can't deal with? What's going to happen? Or what if they say something I don't know about? What will I do?" You're not alone. You know, it's interesting that even Jesus Christ himself, when he was sending out his disciples, we're told that he sent them out two by two. There are a couple of interesting stories I'll quickly point out. If we look at John chapter 12, verse 20 to 22, some folks were seeking Jesus. They were Greeks. Some Greeks, they wanted to meet Jesus. They went to meet Philip. Possibly Philip felt he couldn't take them to Jesus. And what did he do? Philip went to meet Andrew. Hey, Andrew, there's these guys. They want to meet Jesus Christ. And Andrew took them to Jesus. There will always be people. And that's why as believers, we're there for one another. We're with one another. There will always be people around you that you can call on, that you can draw strength from. Philip went to meet Andrew. And they took the people to Jesus. Mark 6, 7. He sent them out in twos. It says, and he called to the 12. He called the 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. Now, that in itself is a message that we could spend another 30 minutes talking about. Why did Jesus Christ send them out in twos? Why didn't he say they should go individually? So in Mark talks about the 12. If you look at Luke chapter 10, Luke chapter 10 from verse 1 says that in addition that he sent 70. So it wasn't just about the 12 apostles. It wasn't just about the 12 disciples that he was sending out. He sent out his disciples generally. You guys all, you know, again in twos. It says, after this thing, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. So he sent people out to spread the word, to share the word, even before he came. Now, there's strength in numbers. Iron sharpens iron. As the Bible says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his brother. I might not know everything. There's some things that if I'm talking, you will be there with me and you can help out. You can share. You know, in the multitude of counsel, there's safety. You know, everything is established where, you know, in the multitude of counsel. We can share. I can say some things and you might have, you know, a word that would make a life-changing impact in the life of someone else. There is protection. We can support one another. We can uphold one another in sharing the word. Praise the Lord. So you're not alone. There are always people around you. Even as we're going out onto the street, we will all be there. Don't be shy. Don't be reluctant to share your story. Don't be reluctant to say what God is laying on your heart. You don't know what difference it's going to make to the life of, even if it's just one person. Shall we pray?